Hi, everyone. Welcome to our podcast, No Filter with Cobo. I'm your host, Elsie Ruiz Alvarado. And in this episode, we will be referencing our 2022 IFSCC poster on creating a streamlined and inclusive shade palette for the USA and UK, while still focusing on our formula of the month. I'm so glad that you are listening in with us today. Trust that today's episode will be worth the stop to listen in. There is a lot of useful content in this one for sure. Today we will feature one shade of our 18 foundations, which were created to be streamlined and inclusive. We will discuss the Cobo ingredients used, their purpose and formula, and offer some background on how you can create similar and effective formulas such as this one. Let me introduce our guest for today, Edward Bartholomew. Hi, Ed. Welcome.
Hi, Elsie. It's great to be here on the podcast with you today.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here with us today. Ed, please go ahead and tell us a little about yourself and what you're doing at Cobo these days.
Thanks, Elsie. Again, my name's Ed Bartholomew, and I work in the Applications Laboratory at Cobo as a principal research scientist. My background is mainly, and it focuses on formulation and raw material innovation and technical performance testing as well.
Thanks, Ed. Before we begin with the questions, I'd like to just provide the audience with some background on the IFSCC poster that I mentioned. For all who are listening, keep in mind that the purpose of our study was to create a smaller, optimized version of a foundation shade palette to satisfy consumers for skin tones and undertones like warm, cool, and neutral in the USA and the UK. With that being said, Ed, we can begin with the questions, so let's get to it. The first few questions are in regards to color and shades. I understand 18 shades were created of this formula, specifically for our poster presented at the 2022 IFSCC called Creating a Streamlined and Inclusive Shade Palette for the USA and the UK. Can you tell me a little bit about what inspired our laboratories to create this formula and why in 18 shades? Were there perhaps benchmarks and what other factors were considered?
Certainly, Elsie. The scientific poster that the team worked on was for the IFSCC, as you mentioned, and that's the International Federation of Societies of Cosmetic Chemists. And it is a worldwide federation dedicated to international cooperation in cosmetic science and technology. Now, firstly, we set out our objectives for the poster that was to be presented in London in September of last year. We surveyed the marketplace with regards to foundation makeups and studied the demographics of the United States and the United Kingdom. We found that though there's a wide range of hues for Caucasian shades, the actual color distance between them was smaller than most of the more varied and deeper tones for Asian, Hispanic, and Black or African heritage. We understand that many companies now offer 30 more, even 60 shades to capture as much of the population as possible. However, many cosmetic companies simply are not allowed the shelf space in stores, or they do not have the manufacturing capabilities that larger companies do to produce such a large palette of shades. So we attempted to consolidate the shades where it made the best sense based upon color measurements, skin physiology, and a study of the marketplace. Consumers could then select from the 18 shades and find one that appeals to them. Formulation of 18 shades provided enough variance to capture most of the skin tones we studied. And we tried not to simulate specific benchmarks, but we were more focused on studying the dynamics of the marketplace for liquid foundation makeup and the physiology of the skin itself.
Ed, I can tell you from experience that in my product of preference, for example, which I purchased for myself, I struggle between two colors with no in-between choice. So I definitely fall in line with this consumer base you're referring to, looking for more appealing shades. Ed, can you touch on the complexity of shade matching, the surface skin color and undertone? Specifically, what are some of the factors that formulators need to consider when creating diverse shades?
Certainly. Again, it's an excellent question, as this is one that perplexes both consumers and formulators, as you noted with your comments, previously. When matching shades on skin tone, one has to account for both the surface skin tone and the undertone. And this varies in individuals based upon their ethnicity and age. The top layer of our skin, the epidermis, contains most of the melanin pigment. And the dermis, which is the underlying layer, contains different chromophores and complex structures such as collagen, veins, and capillaries. So initially, you see the surface skin tone, which may be light or deep due to the melanin content and distribution. Melanin is a biopolymer, and there are various shades of it. In addition, you also see the color that's reflected and scattered from the dermis, which is akin to the undertone. Now, as we age, the top layer becomes more translucent and the undertone is more visible.
Well, it seems to me that the mention of complex is an understatement. Now I can see why, as I mentioned earlier, feel the need to purchase two different shades to satisfy or reach a shade which is appealing to me. What lab tools do you recommend formulators use to assist in designing and shade matching diverse formulas? And what were the added benefits of utilizing these tools?
Well, we made decisions up front prior to beginning the formulation work on the poster as to what approach we would take regarding validating the work. So we chose technical test methods for color, both on skin and drawdown charts. We also assessed color visually. For consumer evaluation, we gave them color charts that we had developed to help guide us based upon their evaluation and scores. We also gave them samples of the makeup shades to apply and test and then score in questionnaires. We used data color spectrophotometers for color measurement. We used Linetta charts for drawdowns and methods. And we had design of experiment software for creating starting points for color formulations of the 18 shades. In addition, we made use of other software, such as those for graphic design and image editing, for creating color charts. And finally, to help us in other areas, such as color conversion, we use some web-based tools that are readily available to all.
Interesting. I have firsthand experience with the data color spectrophotometer and QC. I know that many companies may try to avoid the expense. However, in my time, I can tell you it's worth every penny if you are working with color. This instrument has been key to maintaining color control of our treated powders and dispersions at Cobalt. In the case of your studies, it appears to me that it was very influential in research and development as well. Now, Ed, I'll move on with some questions on the ingredients used in today's formula of the month. So my first question regarding ingredients is that I did review the formula, and I noticed that it has many ingredients which fit the clean trend. Can you tell me a little bit about this?
Yes, so with regards to clean trend, we select ingredients that we understood were deemed acceptable by the consumer based upon a review of many cosmetic companies and technical reports. Clean is an important designation and is well recognized by many consumers. The definition and ingredient list certainly varies from company to company. However, there is a general agreement as to what is important for raw materials being more focused and aligned with both human health and the environment. These are really important areas for our customers.
Yeah, and it shows in trends. I mean, it doesn't seem to go away. If anything, clean just seems to pick up momentum year after year for quite a few years already. Now, all the pigments I noticed to colorize the formula are treated with our natural ASGP treatment. What is the advantage of utilizing these treated powders in this formula?
Well, the ASG pigments are a dual surface treatment, and this helps us to both increase the compatibility in liquid systems, as well to improve the dispersibility of the color. They also have a lot of other properties, such as smooth skin feel and moisturization as well. So the better the dispersion, the more even coverage of the powder on the skin. And this also benefits manufacturers of cosmetics in their reproducibility of color measurements and specifications from batch to batch for delivering quality products to the consumer.
Thanks, Ed. I recall during a presentation that you recently made, and I noticed in the formula the use of ultramarines for various undertones. Can you talk some on that concept and its benefits?
Well, ultramarine pigments were included in our palette as we had studied them a few years ago and issued a technical paper regarding their use in cosmetics. Liquid foundation makeup in the current marketplace generally consists of white, yellow, red, and black oxides. However, if we want to provide a better picture of the skin's appearance, then we need to include the undertones, as we previously mentioned. Undertones can be warm, neutral, or cool. Ultramarine pigments such as blue, violet, green, and pink can better help to replicate skin tones. The color spectra is enhanced as specific wavelengths are more emphasized. The ultramarines blend together well with the oxides to form more varied skin tones. Just having yellow, red, and black oxides as a shading palette somewhat limits the color range, and it can be somewhat artificial and lack inclusivity.
That's so interesting, Adam. I'll definitely make note of this advice. That is when it is applicable. A couple of other cobalt ingredients were used in this formula. Mackie Base SEB and Cellular Beads D5 ASG3. What are these materials and what are their functions in formula?
Mackie Base SEB was a primary emulsifier that enabled us to lock in the moisture of the aqueous phase by encapsulating it within a water and oil emulsion. It really is an excellent emulsifier of natural origin. And the cellular beads D5 ASG3, which were part of the color optics phase, provides a hint of soft focus as their refractive index is similar to that of the oil phase, and that creates a blurring effect on the skin. They also improve the application onto skin due to their spherical nature and the ASGB surface treatment.
Are there any skincare ingredients, are there any skincare benefit ingredients in this formula which can provide moisture to the skin or any other benefits?
Thanks for pointing this out, Elsie. This particular formulation is a water and oil emulsion, and we used a relatively high level of water, greater than 40% for the internal phase, that is. The water and a humectant are encapsulated within the oil phase, which surrounds the aqueous phase that provides moisture for the skin. The oil phase creates a liquid film on the skin, which helps lock in the moisture resulting from the application of the two phases. Now, the oil phase consists predominantly of esters and squalane, which is emollient liquid that originates from olives. Overall, for the formulation, we calculated the natural origin of the ingredients to be greater than 98%. So it satisfies the definition of both clean and natural origin. In addition, we incorporated Kobo Sunboost ATB, which is a blend of argan oil, vitamin E acetate, and bisabolol, which is found in chamomile flowers. This complex mixture helps the skin when exposed to the elements, especially the sun's rays.
Okay, Ed, so I just have one more question, but I'm going to go back to the poster, and the question is related to consumer testing of the formula. I know that there was some consumer testing of the 18 shades done for this poster. Can you tell us a little bit about the objective of the testing and the results of the testing?
Yes, we tested consumers with varied skin tones, both at South Plainfield in New Jersey and Abingdon in the UK, to understand the voluntary response as well as their quantitative scores for the formulation's 18 shades. We received a 96% positive response from the panelists on visually identifying a shade that matches their skin via the bottle tone. The formula also had a 96% positive response from the panelists for being both able to find and apply a shade to match their skin tone. As previously described, we had created printed color charts we developed to guide us, and these were rated as moderately to mostly inclusive of all skin tones. The overall 18 shade palette, physical bottle tone, and skin application was rated as moderately to mostly inclusive of all skin tones with a score of 3.72 out of a possible 5.0. And overall coverage on skin of the foundation makeup was considered satisfactory.
Wow, Ed, those are all good results. I'm sure you're very happy to see those results. What a nice accomplishment, right? After all that work that was put into this study. Ed, so we've basically reached the end of the episode of No Filter with Kobo. Thank you for your insight and being our guest today. It's been so nice talking and learning from you. I'm looking forward to perhaps you joining me again on future episodes of our podcast. What do you think? Will you join us again?
Well, first, thanks for the opportunity, Elsie, and many thanks to the listening audience. And yeah, so of course, I look forward to joining the podcast again on similar or different topics that you have at any time in the future.
Thanks, Ed. For all those who tuned in, once again, we appreciate you listening through and hope that you found this episode to be informative and of some value to you. If you would like to see the complete formula and want to know more about the ingredients discussed, go back to the description of the episode where you will find links to the formula and literature of the ingredients mentioned. Also, remember that on social media, at Cobalt Products, you will find pictures of the products and application. This podcast has been created by the content team at Cobalt Products Incorporated. Cobalt Products is a raw material cosmetic manufacturer and distributor specializing in treated pigments and dispersions. Be sure to follow us on Spotify or the platform of your choice so that you don't miss any episodes. Have a beautiful day. Take care and see you all next time.